Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Hebrews chapter 4. Starting in verse 1, the Word of God says, "Let us therefore fear, lest the promise being left us of entering into His rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us the gospel is preached as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, As I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world." And in Numbers 13, the Word of God says, starting in verse 30, that Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, "Let's go up at once to possess the land, for we are well able to overcome it." Caleb was making a faith confession. Caleb knew exactly what was in the land along with the other 11 spies. Two spies, Joshua and Caleb, made a faith confession. 10 did not. 10 made a confession according to their sight. But Caleb made a confession along with Joshua according to faith, according to what God had already promised them. You see, in Caleb's mind, although they were told to go into the land to spy it out, they really had no need to because they had the promise of God and that's what they were functioning with. But Moses was the boss, so they went out there, Moses sent them, they came back and said, "The promise is still good." That's what Caleb was saying here. The promise is still good. But the other 10 spies said, "The promise is no more good because there are giants in the land. The promise is no more good. The sight has nullified the promise." And it continues in verse 31, "But the men that went up with him said, We be not able to go up against..." Even bad grammar. "We be not able to go up against the people." Okay, they said, "We are more than able." They said, "We are not able at all." Promise? No promise. Okay, they were not operating in the rest of the promises of God. And he said, "We are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." They are looking to themselves in self-consciousness, to their own self-ability, which they had none, and they knew it. On the other hand, Joshua and Caleb were looking to the promises of God and they were resting in those promises because they knew that the works were finished from the foundation of the world. And knowing that the works were finished from the foundation of the world, they entered into the rest of the promises of God which were established on the finished work. Rest always precedes what? What did we say the other day? Nobody remembers. Okay. Faith rest always precedes faith response. Faith response always precedes faith obedience. Faith rest always precedes faith response. Faith response always precedes faith obedience. Joshua and Caleb were resting in faith rest toward the promises of God because they knew that the works were finished from the foundation of the world. In other words, the promise had been given and the promise had been completed before the foundation of the world. All that they had to do now was wait on God to give them the timing and they would enter into those promises. However, when the timing was ready, ripe, and God had intended to bring them into those promises, those who operated by sight said, "No, we are not able." Now, the promise was given long before Moses. The promise was given to Abraham. And so they had been operating in a promise, waiting on a promise, as all of Israel was, for what God had promised to their forefather, and now was the time to enter into it. But as they started operating by sight, the Israelites refused to enter into the promise because sight made them afraid. When I fear, I won't enter into faith rest. Sight prohibits a person from entering into faith rest, because sight is contrary to faith. Usually sight is contrary to faith. Sight never brings faith. Faith results in sight. But it's never the other way around. Sight never produces faith. Sight never produces the righteousness that is by faith. And so God would not accept this generation of Israelites that, despite the fact that they had crossed the Red Sea, oh yeah, they forgot about that detail. Despite the fact that God had delivered them out of Egypt, despite the fact that there was food falling from the sky, these minor little details, despite the cloud by day and the pillar by night, despite these little details, they simply refuse to operate in faith. Yet, this happens to us also. God does the hard part, and we reject the easy part. This is what they did. At this point, having seen what happened to the Egyptians, having seen what happened when they were hungry, noticing that their clothes never did fall apart, noticing that as they were crossing through the Red Sea, the land was actually dry and not muddy, they still didn't quite get it. And they still turned around and operated in faith, because they still would not trust, after having had a great deal of experiences with the promises of God, after having seen God working in their lives, they still wouldn't trust Him. And so God said, "You will not enter into my rest." They could not enter into the finished work rest because they would not enter into faith rest. Entering into the rest of the finished work requires entering into faith rest. Resting in the finished work is where faith rest comes from. And so, I have to rest in the finished work in order to rest in faith. I have to rest in faith if I'm going to have faith responses. I have to have faith responses if I'm going to live in faith obedience. And so, I always accept the fact that the works were finished from the foundation of the world, no matter what the details are. Joshua and Caleb accepted that those works were finished. To them, the giants were nothing. Now, when those people came back, those spies, and said, "There's giants in the land, we are not able to take them, they're too big for us," they were not lying. There really were giants in the land. It wasn't a perception of that sort, like, "Well, I'm so afraid, they seem big to me." No, it was like you stand next to them and they're 10 feet taller than you are. There were giants in the land. The problem was, the giants were irrelevant. They had promises to rest in, and the giants were irrelevant. This is how it works in our lives. We have promises to rest in. We operate in faith rest because we trust the finished work, that the works were in fact finished from the foundation of the world, and we're able to enter into whatever land God is bringing us into, because we'll then have faith responses. As believers, we have to learn to operate in finished work rest. We always rest in the finished work. If we can rest in the finished work, then we can rest in faith. If we can rest in faith, then we can respond to God. If we respond to God, we'll have a life of faith obedience. And so we always start with magnifying the finished work, what Christ has done for us. Yes, in the salvation realm, yes, in the justification, the propitiation, but much more than that. What Christ has done for us, as He knew me from the foundation of the world, He established a plan for my life, and all the promises do. Folks, what are promises in your lives? They're road signs to the plan of God. That's what the promises of God are. They're road signs in the plan of God. "I am going to do this for you." There's a road sign in the plan of God. It's like, "Turn right." Right? Or you see the sign, I-95. Okay? That's like a road sign to get you to where you're supposed to go. The promises of God are road signs for God's plan in our lives. And so we always embrace the promises of God, trusting them because the works were finished. Now, can you imagine if somebody went out and put out, like somebody was given 1,000 road signs and all of them say I-95. But the person didn't know where I-95 actually was. So they could put these I-95 roadsides wherever and it really wouldn't lead to anywhere. You know, we think sometimes that God does the same thing. That God gives promises that He's not going to uphold. But the Word of God says, faithful is He's called you who also do it, and people are afraid that they won't enter into a call. When God says, I will supply all your needs, and people are afraid that they're going to somehow wind up short, that they're going to starve or something like that. When God says, if you seek first the kingdom of God, all these things are going to... And they say, I don't know if He will. I mean, I'm seeking first the kingdom of God, but what about my house? You see, these promises of God are road signs in the plan of God. And this is part of how God directs my steps, because He gives me these promises of God. They are the landmarks. Right? We don't remove the landmarks. What does that mean? We don't remove the promises of God. We don't remove the finished work. We don't remove the things that God has said. These are the road signs. And so, I'm in a situation in my life and I pick up my Bible and I grab some promises. Or I pray and the Holy Spirit speaks to me and He gives me some promises. And I hear the message from the pulpit, and from the pulpit come some promises. And I grab onto them and they are the road signs in my life. You ever get lost in a place? Let's say you're visiting some town. I know this has happened to me. You're visiting some place and you're like, go to Washington, D.C. and drive around for 5 minutes. You'll experience this. You ever get lost in a place and you like, you have no idea where you're going, and you thought that you were going in the one direction, and in Washington at least you turn and you're in the completely opposite direction, and you have no idea how you turned around because you never actually turned the wheel? Well, this is kind of what happens to us in our lives. You know the relief that comes when you see a road sign? Now, let's say you're in Washington and you're trying to go for I-95 because I-95 is easy and you can figure a way out from I-95. And so you go for I-95 and the sign says I-95 and there's an arrow. And you're like, oh good. Something I can count on. Someplace I can rest. Something I can get a hold of. These are the promises of God in our lives. We rest in them. They're intended to bring rest and direction in our lives. And so we rest. Have you ever driven with somebody who's panicking? Usually they go in circles. They don't get too far or they hit something. But in any case, you don't get really far. This is like the person who won't pick up the promises of God, who won't simply rest in faith, rest in the promises of God. The signs are there because the people who put them there know how to get to where you want to go. I want to get to I-95 in Washington, D.C. And it's really usually the only place I want to go in Washington, D.C. is I-95, because that means I can get home. And so I want to go to I-95 whenever I'm in Washington, D.C. and I always look for the I-95 signs. Well, the people who put them there know how to get to I-95 from wherever it is that I happen to find myself. These are the promises of God. The works were finished from the foundation of the world. God, in the foundation of the world, from that time, He had established a plan for my life. And He gave me promises. And I rest in God's promises. You always rest in God's promises. You don't start questioning God's promises. You rest in them. It's like saying, well, I know the sign says 95, but I don't think so. Whoever put it there clearly didn't know where I'm going and how to get to I-95. Wouldn't that seem kind of silly? That's what believers do. God puts promises into our lives and we say, I don't think so. Well, then you're going to go in circles. The reason why you don't think so is essentially you're panicking. You're not thinking with Him. So God puts promises in our lives for us to rest in them. When the Israelites would not rest in the promises of God, they did not enter into the promised land. When I don't enter into the promises of God, it's because I don't rest in those promises. In order to enter into those promises of God, I rest in the promises and allow God to take me by the hand and guide me wherever He wants me to go. But it's only in resting in those promises that I'll have the capacity to respond to Him as He says, give me your hand. And if I'm not resting in the promises of God, I say, no, I'm not going to give you my hand. Because I don't trust where you're going to take me. And so I rest in the finished work. I rest in His character. I rest in His promises. I rest in His word. I rest in the things He gives. Why? Because it gets me where He wants me to go. Where does He want me to go? To peace that passes understanding. To green pastures. To fullness of joy. To His kingdom being experienced in my life. That's where He wants me to go. How do I get there? I rest in His promises. As I rest in God's promises, I start responding to God's will. If I don't rest in God's promises, I can never respond to God's will. So I rest in God's promises and I start responding to God's will. You see, had it been up to Joshua and Caleb, Israel wouldn't have even needed spies. Instead of spies, they'd be sending the whole country. But it wasn't up to them. It was up to Moses, and Moses unfortunately listened to the 10 others. Notice that Moses did not enter into the promised land. Just like God said, nobody over 20 years old is going to enter into this promised land now. Because they didn't believe, except for Joshua and Caleb, the only two that did believe. So it's really up to me whether I want to experience the will of God in my life or not. If I'm willing to rest in the finished work and thereby willing to rest in the promises of God, I will enter into what God's will is for my life. And the will of God for my life is the fulfillment of those promises. That's why He gave them. Just like the person who put the road sign in the city, they desired for people to be able to find their way to get to where they wanted to go. But if you don't trust those road signs, you're not going to go anywhere. Well, I trust the promises of God. I rest in the finished work of the promises. And I get to where God wants to take me. It may not be where I naturally wanted to go in my own disposition, but it'll be where God wants me to be. You see, my disposition is always going to be such that I say, I don't really trust that sign. Why? It's got the wrong color. It's a blue sign and I wanted a green one. That's my natural disposition. I know it says 95 on it, but it's green and I want it blue. Or it's blue and I want it green or whatever. Do that with a stop sign and see what happens. I wanted a green stop sign. Forget it. I'm not listening. But believers do this in their lives. The promises of God are meant to be trusted so that we can rest in faith rest. And as we rest in faith rest, we enter into faith response. And as we enter into faith response, we enter into faith obedience. As we enter into faith obedience, we enter into the full will of God for our lives. It comes because I experience faith rest. If God says, let me take you by the hand and guide you, you don't say no. I noticed that Peter, when Jesus said, another will gird you when you're old, and you're going to go where you might not necessarily want it to go, Peter didn't say, forget it this time. Peter learned the first time. I didn't say, forget it, God. Now, this time he said, what about him? Still a little bit self-conscious, but this time was willing to do it God's way. Always rest in the promises of God. See, it doesn't matter whether it's a tough situation, whether there's giants in the land. The giants mean nothing. The only thing that means anything is what God has said. And if you have a promise, God will be good to the promise. You don't challenge God's promises, you embrace them. You don't challenge God's character, you embrace it. You don't challenge what God's doing in your life, you embrace it. Now, when God gives you promises, you know and you rest in the fact that it is exactly as God has said, that He has promised and He will do it. Amen?